Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
Today, we've been handed that mission from the Lord. To do what? Number one, to make people alive to God. How do we do that? We introduce them to Jesus Christ.
To Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
Luke chapter 5. The greatest life ever lived on earth was the life of Jesus Christ. Amen? The greatest life that ever lived on this earth was the life of Jesus Christ, the person of Jesus Christ. Therefore, no mission can ever compare with the mission he was sent to do. And the great mission of Jesus was, number one, a quickening mission. It was a quickening mission as he came to this earth to make people alive in God. Today, we are alive in God. Amen? It's a special thing. The second thing we see, the great mission of Christ was an eternal mission, not just a quickening mission. But it was an eternal mission when he came to this earth to give people life forever. If we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then we will live forever and ever. Isn't that amazing? That's a promise that we have according to Scripture. And the great mission of Christ was, thirdly, a purposeful mission. Again, a quickening mission, an eternal mission, and a purposeful mission to cause people to commit their lives to God unconditionally and wholeheartedly. He had a purpose, and that was his purpose to do that, that we might come to that place, to commit our lives to God unconditionally, which means wholeheartedly, that we would not hold back anything. And so today I'd like us to look at 9 snapshots, very briefly, of Jesus' mission and what it says to each of us concerning his love, his grace, his mercy toward you and I. Just little snapshots of his mission that he came to here to earth to do on our behalf. And so the first mission that we see is right here in Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. His mission was to reveal that he was who we are, His mission was to reveal who he was and who we are as we stand before him on our own. Verse 1, chapter 5. So it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw 2 boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him, which is Simon, to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now, it's an amazing place when you go to Israel and you go to the Sea of Galilee, and you're on what would be the western side of the Sea of Galilee. There's a natural amphitheater there, and for an extended distance, it's just a natural amphitheater, so you can see exactly potentially where the Lord was teaching and where he asked Peter to, as he was in the boat, to put him out a little bit. I remember one time, my first time that we were there, there was a little hut over to the right, and we were quite a bit of distance over here, and we were just sitting there, and we had a time of worship, and after that, we were just standing there, and there was a time of silence, and you could hear the person way over there. You could hear him come out of the door. It had a screen door. You could hear the creak of the screen door, and then you could hear it slam like that, and I go, yeah, I can see how it could happen. But you just have to envision that he's there. Doesn't need any amplification other than the natural setting that is there. And he begins to preach in this way. He says in verse 4, he says, when he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Can you imagine that? You know, that would be an amazing sight. You know, the fishermen are freaking out. What do we do with all these fishies, you know, in that way? And then verse 8, he says, when Simon saw it, he fell down. Notice the response. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him. Simple story there, but so much there. And we're not going to spend a lot of time in a lot of different areas there. But his mission here that we see was to reveal who he was. And that's what he was doing at this point, revealing who he was and who we are as we stand before him on our own. In other words, he was and is God, and we are sinners. That's who we are by ourselves if we stand alone. But as we stand in his shadow, in his grace, in his mercy, then we become that which he has done in our lives, and we are free, forgiven of our sins in that way. He was and is God, and we are sinners. There's no other area, I think, in Scripture. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 6. Keep your finger there. Just a wonderful place to see who God is and who we are before him. Isaiah chapter 6. You guys remember the story? And so again, his first mission, as we look at this, Jesus' mission on our behalf, the first one that we see was to reveal who he was and who we are as we stand before him. In the year, verse 1, that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Who is God? God is holy. Three times it's repeated. Once probably for each person of the Trinity. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. So he's the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. That's who he is. And then the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me. Who are we? Woe is me. That's who we are outside of God. Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. That's who we are now as we stand before the Lord. Without the Lord doing what he has done, as we celebrate him and his life, as he gave his life for you and I, we are not holy. And woe is me would be our cry. But because of what he has done, then we can cry out. Notice in verse 8, and I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? The cry of God. Then I said, here I am, send me. Isn't that amazing? Going from woe is me to send me. And that's what Jesus has done. Who's done that for us? God himself. That's who we are today. He can work in our lives. And on our behalf, Jesus came to fulfill this. Go back to Luke chapter 5 there. His mission was to reveal who he was and who we are as we stand before him on our own, yes. But then he was and is God, and we are sinners. But now he has made us something special in the eyes of our Father. And then in verses that what we see here, 12 through 26, let's continue just a little bit here. We'll see the second aspect of his mission. It says, and it happened, verse 12, when he was in a certain city, that behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus. And he fell on his face and implored him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then he put out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. What wonderful words. I'm truly willing, be cleansed. Immediately, the leprosy left him. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing as a testimony to them, just as Moses commanded. In other words, fulfill the scripture that was stated in the Old Testament. However, verse 15, the report went around concerning Jesus all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. And so he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Underline that, circle that. May we follow this example. I don't know where the wilderness is. The wilderness can be in our corner of our house somewhere. But we would do as he did. In other words, he often withdrew into the wilderness and he prayed. Now verse 17. Now it happened on a certain day as he was teaching that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. This is a wonderful story. And when they could not find how they might bring him in, because of the crowd, they went on the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. Another gospel says that they broke away the roof there, and you can just see the determination on the hearts of those people. That's a friend. They wanted to get this person to Jesus because they believed that Jesus could heal them, and they loved their buddy so much that they brought him to Jesus, and that's what we should do. Verse 20, when he saw their faith, Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" That's a true statement, isn't it? And there's God standing right in front of them. But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'?" Now, how many by a show of hands think it's easier to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," by a show of hands? You're not going to commit today, are you? You're really not going to do that. Come on, you can loosen up. Okay, maybe it's because most of you people feel this way. But he says, "Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you'? I didn't get a bunch there.' Or to say, 'Rise up and walk.'" Anybody with a show of hands? You are not committing. Come on. That is not right. Jump out there. Let's try it again. Who say it's easier to say your sins are forgiven? All right? Easier to do that. You're afraid to get trapped, aren't you? Okay, yeah, I'm going to set you up. Okay, who says it's easier for you to, what's the one I'm looking for there, right there? Rise up and walk. Who says that? Does anybody here say it's just as easy for Jesus to do either one? Yeah, yeah. So you're all right. I wasn't trapping you. Aren't you excited? I think he could have done either one. Now, on their eyes, it would have been easier to see a person, that would be harder for them. Okay, prove yourself. Okay, make this guy rise up and walk, But it was, in some ways, harder to go to the cross. But for God, it was the same. There's nothing impossible for God. But that you may know, verse 24, that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise and take up your bed and go into the house." And immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, I guess so, and they glorified God. Good for them. And they were filled with fear, I would be, saying, "We have seen strange things today." His mission was to reveal what he could do with our sin. Isn't that amazing? He cleansed us and has forgiven each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. That's what his mission was. The second thing that we see, he came to reveal what he could do with our sin. And totally, Scripture says, it's been taken away. Obviously, in Scripture, in John, 1 John 1:9, it says, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, and to do what? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Jesus said to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." So his mission was to come and reveal who he was and what he could do, and also to reveal what he could do for our sins. He could cleanse us and, as we know, forgive us of our sins. Is that a small thing? Not at all. Today we come to celebrate. Today you came out of your house, you know, and it's a cold day out there. It truly is. But you came out because you wanted to worship the Lord and praise the Lord in that way. Third, let's go to verses 27 through 29. He says, here's his third mission that we will see. After these things, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he left all, rose up, and followed him. Then Levi gave him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great number of tax collectors and others who sat down with him. Jesus' third mission was to call people unto himself for service. So we saw as in Isaiah chapter 6, follow me. Who will go for me? And we have a mission today to go wherever he will send us. But he came to set that example for us for a mission. You know, God can call us anytime to do whatever he wants. Amen? He has total permission to do that. He may have a stay in Indianapolis, or you might find out tomorrow when you're praying, he's calling you to Hawaii. Okay? Now that would be a hard call. Yo, come on now, Hawaii. You're being honest, okay? Yeah, I know. We never know what the Lord's going to do, you know? If he can call people to various places, he can do whatever he wants in our lives. And look at the fourth mission of Jesus here, verses 30 through 32. And verse 30, their scribes and the Pharisees complained against his disciples, saying, why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners? If you're God, why would you do that? And Jesus answered and said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. What was the fourth snapshot that we see in his mission? Was one to call sinners to repentance, to make an about face. He's called us to repent of our sins, and we have responded, come to the place to repent of our sins, do an about face, and go away from our sins. That's for salvation, and it's also for when we walk with him day in and day out. The call is constant. His mission is the same, to bring us unto the Lord for salvation, and after he has done that, to have us still turn away from our sins, and he works in our lives. Look at verse 35, we see 34. Then they said to Jesus, why do the disciples of John fast often and make prayers? And likewise, those of the Pharisees, but yours eat and drink. And he said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? A little hidden in here, but I believe it's very important. The fifth aspect of his mission was to bring real joy to others. Real joy. And everybody been to a wedding? Weddings aren't special, aren't they special? Did these guys, their wedding back in Broad Ripple, when? October. It was warmer back then. Weddings are fun. It was fun being there, seeing their friends and all of that. It was fun in the midst of the wedding to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to share the love of the Lord and all that. Weddings are a time of joy. If I ever go to a wedding that I'm performing and it doesn't seem that there's joy, it's not good. It's not good at that point, you know. But weddings are a joyful time. So his mission was to bring real joy to others, to make us friends with him and with each other. And so that was a mission that he had. The sixth one is found in verse 35. Go there. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Then they will fast in those days. What mission was that that we see right here? Its mission was to die for us. He would die for us. He would be taken away for us. And there then in verse 36 through 39, go there. It says, then he spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one. Otherwise, the new makes a tear. And also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine, that's Jesus, must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine immediately, desires new, for he says, the old is better. Interesting area of scripture there. But we see the seventh mission that we're speaking of today, that Jesus' mission was to bring new life and spiritual freedom to each and every one of us. Praise the Lord. Is God good? He is. All of these things, listen to him again. His mission was to reveal who he was and who we are as we stand before him. His mission was to reveal what he would do with our sins. He would cleanse us and forgive us. His mission was to call people unto himself for service. Follow me, he said. Jesus' mission was one to call sinners to repentance, to make an about face. Jesus' mission was to bring real joy to others, to make us friends with him and with each other. And Jesus' mission here on earth was to die for us, and praise the Lord for that. And Jesus' mission was to bring a new life and a spiritual freedom. Go with me to Romans chapter 6, just for a moment. Romans chapter 6. We see that mission expounded that we speak about here, the 6:1, bring a new life and spiritual freedom as we go to Romans chapter 6. Romans is, I think, my favorite book. Anybody else? Romans, your favorite book? I love it. But here we see, here, new life and spiritual freedom. What shall we say then, verse 1? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Again, we see that symbolically when we baptize, as we baptized here last week. But spiritually, we are baptized into his death. Then therefore, verse 4, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should live in what? In newness of life. What a great promise we have today because of Jesus. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Again, baptism, that's we go into the water, then we come back out of the water symbolically, but speaks of the spiritual reality that we have gone spiritually into the grave. We have died with Jesus, in Jesus, in a very special way, and then we come back out into newness of life, for we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, praise the Lord, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, verse 11, you also, all of us today, the mission of Jesus was to do this for us. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Today we are alive. Amen? Amen? We're alive. The mission of Jesus. If we've given our heart to the Lord, it's been accomplished in a very special way. And so we've looked at 7 aspects of the mission of Jesus. The 8th one has to do with his mission on the cross specifically. And there's just some points there that I'd like to point out. First of all, on the cross, we see his message. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17, it says, for Christ did not send me to baptize, Paul says, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. So what is the message of the cross? It's the gospel message. What's the gospel message? For God so loved, come on, say it, please. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the message that we have. It's a powerful message, is it not? It's changed our lives. And so, there on the cross, there was a message given to us by Jesus. There on the cross, we see his glory. But God forbid that I should boast except, Paul said, in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. The mission on the cross for Jesus was to bring glory to God. Reconciliation was a mission there that he had on the cross, a purpose on the cross in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. And that he, Jesus, might reconcile them both to God and in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity. That's what he did on the cross on our behalf. His enemies were destroyed. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, it says, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God, with a small g, is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. There on the cross, as we know, Jesus dealt with his enemies, and our enemies, our enemy too, in that way. There on the cross, Christ's mission was to bring peace to all of mankind. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. All these things on the cross and so many different things we see. So many accomplishments would be the next mission that Jesus fulfilled there on the cross. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, the law, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Anybody here excited that you don't have to work your way to heaven? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? We do not have to work our way to heaven. It's nice that you showed up today. I am more than blessed. There's more people than I thought would show up to here, and I'm blessed. But it's not going to get you into heaven. You're not getting attaboy points with nobody, not with God. But just simply coming and saying, Jesus, I believe. Forgive me of my sins. I surrender. I simply surrender. And that he has done on the cross is accomplished for you and I. That it's no longer working our way to heaven. It's a free gift. Now, I know that you know that. You guys are scholars. But it's nice to be reminded of the goodness that we find, the work of Jesus on the cross. Next one we see, it's complete victory and power. Jesus said this in John chapter 19, verse 30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is what? Finished. The word for that is to tetelestai. And bowing his head, he gave up the spirit. Jesus' mission on the cross. And then we see the ninth aspect of the mission on our behalf is that the work of Jesus on the cross has made him on our behalf these things, the only intercessor, the only mediator between God and man. Jesus was there on our behalf. In Isaiah 59, verse 16, it says, he saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore, his own arm brought salvation for him, and his own righteousness, it sustained him. There was no other person to do it, as we know. It could only be God himself that would come on our behalf. That was his mission on the cross. We also see it was the only remedy for mankind. It says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. It's the only way. Amen? He is the only way. It's that narrow. He's the one that spoke that to us. And so the ninth work of Jesus, mission is on the cross. He has made him on our behalf the intercessor, the only remedy, and the only nourishment. In John 6, verse 35, Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. And so he's done all of that on our behalf. He's the only source of truth. He accomplished that. Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Have you ever wondered where'd you go if it wasn't God? Have you ever had that time? I remember one time a long, long time ago. I was sitting on the back porch of a person up in Indiana there. And it was like there, I was just fellowshipping the Lord, kind of just worshiping the Lord. I was all by myself. And there was a voice that came to me. And it said, it's not real. It's all a lie. Have you ever had that happen? Yeah, it was just really a strong voice. It wasn't an audible voice, but it was a strong voice. And I'd been in the Lord, obviously, for some time now. And I said, okay, I knew who the voice was. And so I said, okay, let's go with that voice. That's a dangerous thing, by the way. Be careful, okay? But I thought, okay, I'm going to do that. And so he took me down a path to try to challenge my faith in that way. And as I allowed that challenge to come, and again, I don't recommend you do this, but as that right there, sitting on that back porch, looking up in the stars, that's what I was doing. And I was praising God for who he was, and then that voice came to me and says, it's not real. It's not real. And so I just allowed to walk with it, and after a while, then as I walked with it, I just saw, no, that's the truth. That's the lie. This is the truth. Then he threw another lie. This is the lie. This is the truth. This is the lie, and this is the truth. And then I came to the point just to lift up my hands and say, all accomplished by Jesus. Strengthened my faith that evening, but be careful. I don't recommend that, but it was a special time between the Lord and I. He's the only source of truth, and his mission was to reveal also that he is the only Savior. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. No other name. And that's what we can go and tell people about. They may not believe us, but there's no other name. You guys believe that? No other name. And so he came with all these missions that we're seeing, 9 different ones. Number 8 and number 9 have combined all these others in the midst of it. But the last one we see, he came and he is the only foundation. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. There's no other foundation. And so today we opened our study with this statement. The greatest life ever lived on earth was the life of Jesus Christ. You guys believe that? Yes. The greatest life ever lived on earth was the life of Jesus Christ. Therefore, no mission can ever compare with the mission which he was sent to do. The great mission of Christ was these 3 things that I mentioned. A quickening mission to make people alive to God. Number 2, an eternal mission to give people life forever. And number 3, a purposeful mission to cause people to commit their lives to God unconditionally. And you know what? It's exciting. We have that mission. Today, we've been handed that mission from the Lord. To do what? Number 1, to make people alive to God. How do we do that? We introduce them to Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And that's now our mission. This was the Lord's mission. And then, as we know, he ascended into heaven. And he said, I'm going to send another, that means one just like me, who would be the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit came to indwell inside of us. Now Jesus has multiplied himself from one to all of people that will follow him. His mission is expanded into our hands. And we are to go and tell people about Jesus' quickening mission to make people alive to God. And then we're to tell people about Jesus' eternal mission to give people life forever and ever. There is nothing more exciting than seeing a person pray and bring Jesus into their life. How many people here have accepted the Lord, let's just say, 5 years or less, within the last 5 years? Okay? There's some of you there. How many last 10 years or less? By show of hands. Okay? How many have known the Lord 15 years or less there? Boy, we got it. How about 20 years or longer? Okay, 20 years. How about longer than 20 years? My goodness. We have a mission, don't we? To go and tell anybody that we can about Jesus Christ. They're waiting. Jesus has set that example, a quickening mission, an eternal mission, and a purposeful mission to cause people to commit their lives to God unconditionally. We can't force that upon them, but we sure can tell them about his love. Amen? So just a simple, simple thing. Jesus' mission on our behalf. Anybody excited about that?
Yes.
Amen. Let's pray right now. Father, we want to thank you so much for Jesus Christ. Just a simple study today to remind us of all that Jesus has done on our behalf. Very simple, but yet each topic that we looked at, we could spend forever and ever on, I guess, Lord, thinking about you and all that you've done for each and every one of us. And so, Lord, we thank you so much for the mission that you have accomplished. It is finished. And we pray now that you would anoint us by your Holy Spirit to go to others within this world and tell them, open doors for us, Father. Let us reach out to our loved ones, to those in our neighborhood, to those in our business place, to those that we might just walk among in some way. We just pray that you would use us and empower us for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word.